Hello, it's Thursday, August 24th, and you're listening to Wing Radio. I'm Lisa Julianne.
And I'm Victor Thorne. Welcome to Wing Radio. It's Thursday here, gloomy outside, looks like it's going to rain. And tonight, I'm going to appear on Michael Collins Piper's The Piper Report. It's going to be a discussion between myself and Mr. Christopher Bolin about his recent arrest. We hope everyone tunes in at 7 o'clock Eastern Time on rbnlive.com. And one of the things that we've been talking about quite a bit lately on Wing TV is the lack of quality standards in the stories that have been being relayed in the alternative media. If you go to the Wing TV homepage, you'll see an article entitled Hoaxes, Scams, Lies, and Fakery. And what I did was, off the top of my head yesterday, just come up with a dozen or so of the recent stories that ended up being scams. And what we're going to do is go through these real quick and comment on them. And then we're going to go over a little bit an article in the most recent edition of Time Magazine with Hillary Clinton on the cover. It says, lover or hater? Check one. We already checked hater. So anyway, Lisa, let's go over this article on the Wing TV homepage and just show everybody what kind of shabby reporting has been done that really embarrasses and makes all of us in this movement look real bad.
Well, in the article Hall of Shame, we've got Tom Flacco's famous fairy tale, Bush Cheney Indicted, a total lie.
Right, and we try to remind everybody every single month that Bush and Cheney still aren't indicted. This story, I believe, came out at the end of July last year, so it's been over a year now, about 13 months.
Guess who's still in the White House?
Right, guess who isn't indicted? Now, when we came out 13 months ago and said this story's bogus, some people gave us heat because they said, well, what are you talking about? Just give it time. You're going to see Bush and Cheney are indicted.
Right.
Well, it's been 13 months and Bush and Cheney aren't indicted.
Okay, but I guess they'll have some excuse to justify that story. They always do. Next one, Tom Flacco, again, with the Barbara Olson arrest story. A total hoax.
Right. Now, this story is so ludicrous and was so derided in so many different areas. When Flacco first came out with it, there were so many glaring errors. He had the wrong type of currency. He had wrong nations
bordering. The wrong border, right.
Yeah, I mean, so many things.
Non-existent border.
Yet, this story went across the internet with lightning speed, everywhere you looked.
And we took heat for that one, too.
Yeah, because we said, guess what? Barbara Olson hasn't been arrested. There's absolutely no proof. What is this based upon? And it ended up being bogus.
Right.
The worst part is that Professor Jim Fetzer, only about a month ago or so, was on Ellen Combs radio show. This is a mainstream nationwide radio show. You know, Hannity and Combs. He was on Ellen Combs radio show and actually brought up the Barbara Olson arrest.
I couldn't even believe he did that.
And people across the internet were gasping and just saying, what's he talking about? Why is he doing this?
Gasping. So that, we were choking.
Yeah, that shows the danger of these hoax stories. What's
okay.
next?
Next, we have Mike Rupert's Delmar Vreeland episodes. Totally fake.
Right. I was talking to Dave McGowan yesterday, who is, I think, the first person to really expose Mike Rupert. And then we followed up here on Wing TV with our exposés. Well, as everybody knows, Mike Rupert is now out of the country, down in Venezuela. The whole story is bogus about him, why he left. We're going to get into that one of these days. But when I was talking to McGowan yesterday, who wrote the best series of articles ever on 9/11, they're still on our homepage. But while everybody, the serious researchers, were trying to get everybody to look at controlled demolition, and even some researchers, Israel's role in 9/11, Mike Rupert has us off on these wild goose chases with this con man named Delmar Mike Vreeland, which he's in prison now, Vreeland is. The whole thing's been exposed as a hoax, yet for the longest time, people were chasing this fairy tale. Again, the dangers of hoax stories.
Next in our article Hall of Shame, Carl Schwartz's World Trade Center Galvanic Corrosion Fairy Tale. Implausible.
Right. When we had Carl on the show one day, this is about, whenever, a couple years ago, year and a half ago, we asked him about this galvanic corrosion, and he said, well, the towers may have came down because the salt water in the ocean corroded the steel and weakened the steel and thus caused, or could have caused, the towers, the World Trade Center towers, to collapse.
I think you even asked him if the planes hadn't hit the towers that day, would galvanic corrosion have brought the towers down? And he admitted right on our show, no, it wouldn't have.
And he stumbled all over his tongue answering it, and then he never, ever brought it up again. So, but that story was debated for months and months in these various groups, and it was totally implausible.
Next, we have Greg Zemanski's bogus Morgan Reynolds interview, which was a total fake. Morgan Reynolds himself told us that.
Yeah, Morgan Reynolds contacted us, said that Greg Zemanski went and made up an interview where he cut and pasted various segments from his other interviews, put it all together, and put it out as if he had personally interviewed Morgan Reynolds. The bad part was is that he said he interviewed him in his office at Texas A&M University.
Uh-huh.
Well, some of Morgan Reynolds' detractors pointed out that Morgan Reynolds doesn't have an office at Texas A&M, so they said, well, if you're lying about that, you're probably lying about the controlled demolition, too. So it created all kinds of havoc, all because Greg Zemanski outwardly, blatantly, 100% lied and made up an interview. Is this the kind of standards we want to uphold?
Yeah,
and
it's not the
media?
Only thing he fabricated along the journey.
Right.
Okay, next we have Daryl Bradford Smith saying Kaminsky, that's John Kaminsky, received $3,000 to $5,000 a month.
This is from, I guess, the government or the Mossad or the agents or the criminal network.
Right.
And when
I think Hupschmidt actually wrote that article, right? And we challenged him on that directly on our show, and I don't think he ever, well, they never do. Back up what they say. They just say things.
Yeah, there was absolutely no proof whatsoever to prove this, yet this story is still out there floating around. That Kaminsky's and I was talking to John a few days ago, and he says, I would love to be having $3,000 to $5,000 extra income a month.
Yeah.
Another total lie.
Wouldn't anybody. Okay. Oh, I guess Tom Flacco's the heavy hitter in this whole thing. His Chicago MI5 subway shootout hoax story.
Now, Lisa, wasn't there a blogger that went and checked every single aspect?
Right.
He went to the hospitals, called the paramedics, called the police agency, called the Metro Transit, and not one single element of this story added up or even existed.
No, apparently it existed in Flacco's mind.
Right. But this was, again, another one of those big stories that went across the internet with lightning speed and made everybody look bad because it was another hoax.
Flacco should put together a book titled The Lies I've Told. Okay, anyway. The next one is Prison Planet Daniel Ellsberg coverage. Totally sensationalized.
Now, this was one of the most recent, and what happened was there was an interview with Daniel Ellsberg, and Prison Planet put out a partial transcript of this the next day, and the headline was Daniel Ellsberg. He's famous for revealing or exposing the Pentagon Papers, and it says Daniel Ellsberg admits 9/11 inside job. Well, Daniel Ellsberg the next day put out his own press release and said, I absolutely did not say any of this. And he said, if you read the transcript, you'll see that I'm saying nothing even remotely like that. He was saying there's possibilities that there could have been a cover-up and blah, blah, blah. But he didn't say this, and he demanded a retraction from Prison Planet.
Did they give him one?
I don't know if it ever came about. But it shows, again, that instead of just saying or relaying what Ellsberg said in the interview, they have to sensationalize and blow it up.
Right.
And here's the bad part. Here's someone in the mainstream government, mainstream media, that was good enough to come on an alternative media show, and then he got burned because his words were taken out of context, and I'll bet you he never comes on these shows again.
I was just going to say that. Okay, the next one. Fintan Dunn. Fintan Dunn's insane COINTELPRO list. Remember? The CIA fakes list, where he pointed his finger at every single other person almost, other than himself.
Right.
All total lies.
Yeah, I can't even comment on that because it's so preposterous.
Hopefully he's still sitting in the corner.
Yeah, to show how discredited he is. Someone asked me the other day if Fintan Dunn's even around, and I said, I don't even know. because there's nothing been heard
Do
from
we
him.
Care?
So, yeah, he's been so discredited that anyone that says Fenton Dunn, they're just laughed off.
Okay, next we have the no planes at the World Trade Center hoax. That should burn some people's ears.
How many people are spending countless hours on this story, including the scholars for 9/11 Truth, are spending inordinate amount of hours
Talk about getting wrapped up in some tail chasing, like needless, senseless, time-wasting tail chasing.
I mean, this is as far down a rabbit hole as you can get, and it comes from the same people that a couple years ago were saying that the airplanes were nothing more than holograms, and they were as vehement and as obnoxious about that.
Yeah, you know, then, the what's it crowd.
Yeah, then they realized that the hologram hoax didn't float, so then they turned it into TV fakery and planes.
Well, they've gone high-tech now. They went from what's it to blue screen fakery.
Well, and as Vinny Sammartino says, look at the outline of the plane in the towers, and how is that going to be created? Did they specifically put all kinds of little charges right exactly there where it hit? And they knew beforehand exactly and precisely where it was going to hit, and then they set off the charges to make it look...
To make a cutout?
Yeah. I mean, it's anyone with even the most basic inkling of common sense in physics know that it's preposterous.
The next one, Eric Hufschmidt and his buddy Daryl Bradford Smith. We have to always entwine them because they are joined at the hip.
Well, let's just say Daryl Bradford Smith and his ghostwriter / secretary.
Girl Friday, right.
Yeah, secretary.
Blaming the 9/11 scholars, namely Professor Fetzer and Professor Judy Wood, for killing the student Michael Zabor, which is a lie, and which they never, once again, they failed to substantiate that altogether. And we challenged Eric Hufschmidt directly on that.
Yeah, we did an entire show.
On our show.
Wasn't there an arrest made? Wasn't there names
released? Yeah, the police investigated
released.
It. They had at least 15 investigators on the case, but Hufschmidt and Smith said that nobody was investigating this. Of course, Hufschmidt and Smith weren't investigating it either, but...
They were just making baseless allegations. And
they just
people,
like to criticize
people
who actually are investigating it.
Yeah, people were investigated. The criminals were arrested, and
Morgan
their names
Reynolds,
were released.
I think Morgan Reynolds was actually looking into it himself.
Right.
Okay, the next one. Christopher Bullen, Sam Danner, Pentagon, Global Hawk story. Remember that one? That was just a few weeks ago, which apparently it won't die.
Right. Well, Sam Danner was on this show, admitted that he made the whole thing up. Now, recently, Eric Hufschmidt said that Sam Danner retracted his story again and that he was being pressured and that Victor Thorne was part of the criminal network. Now, here's the story. Never had we spoken on the phone or even emailed Sam Danner before that interview. Then after the interview, we've never spoken to him on the phone or emailed
him
again. So, in other words, we did about a 12-minute interview with Sam Danner. That's the only time we had ever spoken to him or contacted him.
And the reason we did it is because we were told Sam Danner wanted to make a statement and wanted to do it on Wing TV, and we hooked up our microphone really quickly. And
yeah, we did it at like 8:45 at night.
If you heard that interview, it was very brief. We asked him two or three different questions. Nobody was twisting Sam Danner's arm, so if he's retracting his retraction of his retraction now, I would say, let's put this puppy to bed. This is not a credible source of information.
Well, it's because he
said...
And he's
getting still coached by Hufschmidt.
Yeah, he said he talks to Eric Hufschmidt twice a day on the telephone. And answer this. How could we have pressured Sam when we spoke to him one time for 12 minutes? Ever. We've never spoken to him ever again beyond
that. We're not that good.
You know, I mean, it's just ludicrous that they keep this going. And what it does is it discredits the 9/11 movement. It discredits Christopher Bullen, who broke the story in AFP.
But you
it
know,
discredits just, everybody.
I think that's what it was intended to do.
Exactly.
Okay, so the next one, we've got George Norrie's promotion of the UFO scam artist Prophet Yahweh.
Now,
hoax.
Yeah. To know about this, you have to actually listen to Coast to Coast AM. And Prophet Yahweh came out a few months ago and said that he could actually predict or even create or know when UFO sensations were going to happen, UFO sightings.
Before they happened.
And he said, you know, you could go to this place at this time, and that's when the UFO sighting would would occur. So then
I see stuff like that in my coffee sometimes.
Yeah. Well, then you go to his website, and before you can even enter his website, you had to make a payment to get inside the website to see the information on there. And it was something like $20 or $25. Uh-huh. So it was all nothing.
Did
but
anybody
a huge,
pay and see anything?
Who knows, but he's off the radar now. And also Jeff Rentz ran stuff by Prophet Yahweh. It was the biggest UFO scam ever, yet both these individuals ran with it.
Oh, I'm glad you brought up pathological compulsive liar Jeff Rentz, because his ludicrous Bigfoot stories were also a hoax.
Yeah. I mean, it's not only the Bigfoot stories, it's the ghost stories.
A lot of this other sensational crap on there.
Well, you know what's funny is, as I was listening to Coast AM, I think it was Sunday night, Art Bell had a guy on that was talking about ghosts and so forth.
Yeah.
And a caller comes in very conveniently. He says, well, I would really like to investigate ghosts, but how do I get the equipment, you know, like the meters and the lights and all that? Well, how do I get this stuff to really be a serious investigator? And Art Bell's guest says, well, it just so happens that if you go to my website, I sell a Ghostbuster kit that has the meters and has the lights. And if you buy this kit...
You get the cool outfit and the backpack and everything, too.
So if you buy this kit, then you'll be able to go out and be a Ghostbuster, too, and chronicle it. I mean,
They're feeding into people's fantasies.
Yeah. I mean, even a 6-year-old would be able to see how ludicrous the whole notion is, but he was selling his Ghostbuster kit. Last but not least.
Yes. Captain May. Good old Captain May's Texas City, Texas imminent nuclear blast story. Let's blast it out of the atmosphere.
Yeah, this is more
sensational.
I mean, the key word, of course, is imminent. Greg Zemanski then ran with this.
Uh-huh.
I believe it was the Galveston, Texas newspaper. After this imminent nuclear... Imminent means it's certain that it's going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? Imminent. And so people were actually calling us, Lisa, and saying, well, I have family down in Texas.
Yeah.
Should I call them right now and tell them to evacuate because there's an imminent...
People were totally freaked out about this story.
Went all over the internet, and guess what? The imminent nuclear blast never came.
In fact, none of his predictions have come to pass, but if you ask Captain May, he'll just say that he thwarted them. They thwarted all the terrorist attacks, and you know what? That's BS.
I actually got two emails from Captain May's brother.
Listen to this.
Last week, and he said this guy is such a crackpot, so unbalanced, so out of his mind with these paranoid delusions that he says all they do in his family is just laugh at him.
Do you know what? That's two brothers now. Daryl Bradford Smith's brother went on, I think it was Piper's show. Was it last night or just a
couple
few nights
ago? Yeah.
And said pretty much the same thing. Both of these brothers are saying their more famous brothers, Daryl and Captain May, have psychological issues.
Plus,
no kidding.
Plus, Sam Danner's son called into Piper's show and said that his old man, Sam Danner, has a history of spreading these kind of stories and just trying to get attention for himself. So now, with all of this in mind, do you think there's a possibility that there's a lot of people in the alternative media and the Patriot movement that are laying a lot of bogus crap on your doorstep? And as soon as this crap is laid on your doorstep, the paid spammers doing their job take it and race it and send it all over the internet.
Well, you know what? I don't care. I will bet you a dollar, Victor, that the next crap story that comes out, they'll do the same exact thing, because people are not learning from all these hoaxes and coming from the same sources over and over again. I bet you a dollar.
Oh, well, I guarantee it.
That they'll send them around just the same way.
So then you have to... Everyone complains, well, the mainstream media, they never pay any attention to us. They don't take us seriously.
Gee,
right,
I wonder
there,
why.
Yeah, we just gave you 13 examples, and there's more, believe me.
Uh-huh.
If I actually sat down and, like, spent some time coming up with... I could come up with probably 13 more. So the mainstream media looks at all these hoaxes and all this crap. The Galveston newspaper in Texas ran a big article about Captain May and Greg Zemanski's bogus nuclear blast.
Yeah.
And that
was a regular monthly drill that goes on there. It was not, a terror attack. It was nothing to be freaked out or afraid of. And it was exploited by Captain May. I call him Captain Maybell.
And they tried to contact Greg Zemanski to comment now on this imminent, in his own words, nuclear blast, but they couldn't contact him. So what he did was Szymanski put out this bogus story,
right,
raced it all over the internet, then when it turned out to be untrue, mm-hmm, then he goes and hides.
Under his rock again.
And he's not man enough to come out and admit that he was wrong about it.
No, but what he does, they get Captain May to send us little spam emails saying that when he takes control, he's going to have us arrested and tried for treason, for subverting his efforts to we're undermining his efforts to thwart terror attacks.
Yeah.
His own mind.
Yeah, isn't that hilarious? When he takes power, I mean, what delusions of grandeur. First of all, Captain May, some guy that's not even a blip on any radar screen, is going to take power. That means take power of the entire country to have the power then to not only arrest us, but try us on charge. These people are out of their minds, insane.
You should contact the networks. They might be interested in doing like a morning children's cartoon called Captain May.
Yeah.
Because that's where it belongs.
Yeah. So now, whenever these stories come out and Wing TV tries to get the other side of the story, or all sides of the story, and does things that almost nobody else does.
We check sources.
We get heat because they're saying, well, you know, you're criticizing the story. Well, look,
We to assume that nobody's interested in the other side of the story?
Or are we to assume that nobody's interested in the truth?
Yeah.
I mean, how many more times does this movement have to be embarrassed before we wake up and say, I think somebody is deliberately doing this, laying all these bogus stories on us to make us all look bad.
And once somebody tells you a lie, do you automatically take what they say at face value after that? Do they still have credibility? I mean, you people go ranting on and on about George Bush, how he lied about the weapons of mass destruction, and we shouldn't believe what he says after that. Well, why in the alternative media do people get a free pass? They hand you a bogus story, then their next story comes out, and you scoop that one up, you suck it up like a sponge, time and time again. You send it around like it's fact. It's not fact.
And, you know, if you want Wing TV to be these little cardboard cutouts, these company men that have this mob mentality that adheres to this groupthink, and we toe the party line, then I'm going to tell you right now, you're going to be disappointed, because we don't toe the company line. We're not company men. We don't have this mob groupthink mentality. We follow our own path.
We don't run along with the rest of the bleeding herd. We ask questions. Stories are important to look into. There's always more than one side to every story. Yeah.
And the most important thing is we ask questions, even hard questions. And we want answers from a variety of different sources. And as I say at the end of this article,
we want more than anything else. We want people to think critically.
Yeah. And at the end of this article, I say, do you know what that's a sign of? Damn good journalism. Because we're doing what virtually nobody else is doing with these bogus, hoax, lie, sensationalism stories.
Maybe they
we're
don't
checking
want
them out.
Damn good journalism.
Yeah.
And it seems like they want fiction.
I mean, good journalists are supposed to be watchdogs, not lapdogs. Do you want lapdogs to just yipe, yipe, yipe every story, bark them around the internet, don't check them out, and then a week or a month goes by, and we realize, oh no, it's another bogus story. Bush and Cheney weren't indicted. Barbara Olson wasn't arrested, and blah, blah, blah. So think about it, folks. You're here listening to Wing TV for a reason, because I think you have enough sense to realize when the wool is being pulled over your eyes. If you still want to keep falling for the hoaxes, that's your prerogative, but guess what? We're not.
Yeah, one of our prerequisite requirements is that you have two brain cells to rub together.
Yeah. Now, we're running out of time here, but the most recent edition of Time Magazine, it's August 28, 2006.
Thorne, we didn't want to spend too much time on Hillary anyway.
I know. There she is, her picture on the cover.
He almost couldn't speak when he looked
at
her.
I know. Did you see what happened there?
Yeah, his mouth sort of went slack.
I mean, just looking at her, and I go blank. But it says, the presidential ambitions of Hillary Clinton. And then there's a little checkoff. It says, lover or hater. As soon as I got this out of my mailbox, I pulled a pen out of my back pocket and hit hater immediately. So what this is saying, we're going to give you a real quick interview.
It's a good thing it didn't have a box for commentary.
Yeah, I'd still be writing now.
Yeah.
It says that as of now, we all know Hillary's running for re-election in the midterm elections for her Senate seat. Right now, she's amassed already $33 million. $33 million. Now, to show what a scam...
And does that tell you that she's undecided about what she's going to do?
Yeah.
Because that's what they're publicly saying.
Yeah. Now, to show what a scam this election is, or the two-party system is, you would think the Republicans, knowing that Hillary's going to run for president, they'd put the meanest SOB pit bull... nasty bastard there is running against her.
And who would even, you say that would be?
Oh, I don't care who it is.
Cheney's already the vice president.
Yeah. Well, I mean, somebody that has, they have to live in New York, of course, because it's a New York race. But even if he doesn't win, bloodier.
Mm-hmm.
Bloodier as bad as they can and make her spend as much of that $33 million that she can, because what she's going to do is she's only going to spend a couple million dollars in this race because the GOP isn't putting anybody up there against her. So she's going to have probably $28 million left over that she's going to start collecting on then to use for 2008. By the end, she'll have well over $100 million, and she's going to come out of the Senate race completely untouched because the GOP is rolling over and playing dead. They said they can't find a quality, legitimate candidate to run. You mean there's no good, strong conservatives in the entire state of New York?
No.
I mean, it's unbelievable. It's unbelievable. And nobody in the GOP, it seems, is saying, why don't we put a pit bull up against her? That every single day...
You might not have to actually get a real pit bull to put up against her. Like the dog, you know?
So, on top
Getting
of that
pretty
now...
pathetic.
Here's what else Hillary has. She has 32 full-time employees,
mm-hmm.
plus 10 employees on her Senate staff. She has
A computer guru, too, right?
An internet guru, which I'm sure is going to go and scour all the blogs mm-hmm. and all the websites looking for nasty stuff about Hillary. She also has 13 consultants, and she also has Slick Willie, Bill Clinton.
Right.
And... this article is saying...
he really wants her to run for president.
Absolutely.
Yeah, Bill, I bet.
Now, here is a nightmare beyond any nightmare.
Mm-hmm.
Think back to
and
Bill Clinton.
You're not even asleep yet.
Yeah, think back to Bill Clinton. The MENA Arkansas scandal. The murder of Vince Foster. The murder of Ron Brown. The Travelgate scandal. The selling of secrets to the Chinese, of military top secrets.
The sexual trysts.
Yeah, all the sexual trysts. Monica Lewinsky.
Stealing antiques from the White House.
Yeah, Monica Lewinsky's soiled dress. The cigar deep inside Monica Lewinsky. Now, here's the nightmare.
The never-ending diarrhea stream of lies.
Yeah, here's the nightmare scenario. We're going to see on the steps of the White House, or maybe it's the Supreme Court, wherever they do the swearing in, Hillary Clinton with her hand on the Bible.
And Bill holding the Bible.
And Bill holding the Bible. If anybody out there...
you gagging yet?
If anybody out there isn't jumping out their window right now, as Lisa said, gagging, this scenario is... it's too much right now for my mind to even wrap around, to even comprehend.
I don't even know what there's anything to be polarized about. I mean, even the Democrats should be able to see them for what they are. They're just garbage.
And the other thing that they don't mention in this article, they bring up all her employees, this big force that she has amassed already to get her...
Team Hillary.
Yeah, Team Hillary. But they don't mention the Dirty Tricks team.
Mm.
And when they were in the governor's mansion in Arkansas, and when they were in the White House, Hillary had something officially known as the Secret Team. And this was a team of nasty, mean, son of a bitches that anytime anybody came out and spoke negatively about Bill Clinton or any of their scandals or his adultery.
It's like her own little mafia.
Exactly. She would get this secret team, this mafia, to go out there and do their dirty work for him. And are we ready for not only 4 more years of that, but quite possibly
8
more years of that? To have those two back in the White House is beyond anything I can comprehend right now.
What's the alternative?
Well, here's my scenario. Here's what I think, and I think we brought it up the other day, is they're going to put John McCain in there as the GOP candidate because his old man, John McCain Sr., already betrayed this country by covering up Israel's attack on the USS Liberty.
Yep.
It's not hard to imagine John McCain rolling over and playing dead, or maybe if he's ahead in the polls 3 weeks before the election, he'll make some huge boner, some kind of big gaffe, where it'll be so embarrassing that he'll have to like shrivel up and play dead then. And the nut doesn't fall far from the tree. If John McCain Sr. can betray this country, it's not hard to imagine that his son will do the same thing.
This article says that if she runs and loses, then the Clintons, knowing that this is going to be a very long, expensive, and brutal campaign if she does decide to run for president, that if she does lose, though, they will come out tarnished, as if they're not already.
Well, if she doesn't win this election...
Can you get any more tarnished?
If she doesn't win this election, they're done. I mean, she'll still stay in the Senate, but everybody knows that Hillary didn't climb this ladder to just stop at the Senate.
Well, they say she can ace the Democratic primary, but that in the general election, she's unelectable. And let's hope that is so.
Now, there's one thing that many Democrats are already calling Hillary on and holding against her is her support of the war. She's become, at least by all appearances, even more of a war hawk than the neocons
are. In fact,
they
hold the fact that she won't recant her vote for the war against her even more than the original.
And she's doing this, of course, it's all calculated because...
Political theater.
Yeah, because we know how badly the powers that be want this war machine to keep rolling on. If Hillary came out as a liberal Democrat like George McGovern, there's zero chance that she's going to win, even considering how much this country is against this god-awful war. Candidates that are utterly anti-war never win in this country. And it's because the media, along with the government, keep ratcheting up the fear machine, the fear-mongering. And Hillary is well aware of that. So,
it's like if the powers that be suddenly didn't want people to be for the war, Hillary would come out and toe that line, too.
Just like her husband.
Nobody knows what she really believes in.
Yeah, I mean, what they do is...
stands for.
They lick their finger and put it up in the air to see which way the wind's blowing. And
the polls.
You know, and I was talking to someone today. If Hillary wins and is in for 8 years, that means from 1980 until 2016, there will either be a Bush or a Clinton in the White House. And if Jeb runs after that, then we're up to somewhere like 44 or 48 years or something like that. Nearly 50 years of a Bush-Clinton dynasty. And we need, in 2008, to break this chain immediately, permanently, forever.
It's like you're falling down this vortex. It's just insanity.
Yeah.
Bush Clinton, Bush Clinton, Bush Clinton.
This crime family, this dual crime family. And I'm reading a book right now about the Clintons, the chapter about Mena, Arkansas. And it's so obvious, it's so proven that George Bush Sr., as VP, was working in unison with Bill Clinton as governor of Arkansas to bring more cocaine into this one spot, Mena, Arkansas, than there's ever been in any other single spot ever in this country. They were bringing in billions and billions of dollars worth on an annual basis.
That's what we need in the White House, more drug traffickers.
Yeah, more criminals. And that's what it is George Bush Sr., George Bush Jr., W., is running this country deliberately so far into the ground and alienating his own power base, the conservatives, that by the time 2008 comes, they're going to be so disgusted that even Satan, I think, could win against a Republican. And if you haven't gone out, and I hate to tell anybody to support mainstream media publications, but if you're ever going to buy one edition of Time magazine this year, buy this one, read about it, and you'll see how they're gearing up for this run on the White House. And it's something...
I guess her team wants her to declare her intentions by next spring.
Next spring, right.
So we don't have very long to wait for Hillary to finally say yay or nay.
And she has to, because she has to go out and start landing the best talent. And before they go to some other candidate,
she needs to work at her campaign a lot harder than Bill did, because Well, she's just not as well liked.
Right.
She's not going to have all the women who are swooning over her husband in love with her in the same way.
Wishing they were the ones with the stained dress. But I'll tell one last story. Yeah, yuck is right. And I mean, not only is he a sexual predator, if you look at the Juanita Broderick story, he's a rapist.
Yep.
This guy is a rapist. And Hillary went out with her secret team and targeted all these women that came forward to speak out on his sexual predator nature so that they could either silence them, they could have ad hominem attacks, they could shame them.
That's because she supports women and women's causes.
Yeah, she's such
a
feminist.
She's a champion.
But to show the power of Bill Clinton, this was back in the 90s. He actually came to Penn State University to give a commencement speech, a graduation. My neighbor, a very, very, very hardcore conservative, despised the Clintons. Well, he went to this speech, and he said there was such a magnetism, such a magic coming off of Bill Clinton that he said by the end of his speech, he was almost ready to go out and vote for Bill Clinton in the next election. There's something otherworldly about Bill Clinton, and anyone that thinks this guy is just simply some dirt poor welfare kid like he tries to portray, there's something. His family had many, many contacts, and
the devil's probably a good looking guy.
Yeah, and the devil is very charismatic, and this guy, he said that there was just a magnetism in the air when Clinton spoke, and this wasn't a good magnetism.
That's hopeful.
Isn't it that
puts a lot of confidence.
Luckily, Hillary doesn't have this same charismatic quality.
No, in fact, in this article, they describe her as leaden, like L-E-A-D-E-N.
And she's stiff.
She's wooden.
The other thing, and Al Gore did the same thing, is they have this nature to them where whenever they speak, they're speaking down to their audience as if they're about on an eighth grade level. Like, they're so elitist and so superior that they have a very slow approach, and they say everything very deliberately so that their dumb audience can get it. And it's just condescending beyond words. So, I don't know, folks. Hillary's going to win, of course, re-election. Then
win?
Yeah, her re-selection, we should say. So anyway,
take her turn at the helm.
So anyway, folks, we'll be back tomorrow. We're going to have Mr. Jim Condit Jr. We're going to talk about a DVD that he recently released about World War II and Adolf Hitler's secret connections. Very, very interesting. So until tomorrow, keep your eyes open because there's a lot going on.
See you all then.